The Cappuccino Podcast brought to you in association with Tactical Solutions. For all your tactical solutions, check them out at www.tactical.co.nz.
It's that time again, so grab yourself a cup of joe
and get ready for the Cappuccino with Constable Brian.
My guest, second time round, and despite the fact he's sitting right beside me, I'll still tell him the good news. He's still one of the highest rating episodes of the Cappuccino for all three listeners. So Rob Masters has been an ex-sergeant, an ex-senior sergeant in the police. He's been a frontline police officer. He's been in charge of Wellington Airport. He's been a recruit instructor at the Royal New Zealand Police College. He's been on the maritime unit based in Wellington. And he is now currently a, what are we calling you these days, a physical education training officer?
Yeah, that's the one, physical education officer.
Yeah, and despite all of that, and you're thinking what a great guy he is, he still supports Australian cricket. So we'll go straight into the speed round, because here we go, right? So, best sports movie of all time, Rob, is what?
Oh, that's a good one. Any Given Sunday.
There you go. Okay, cool. Yeah, nice. Good work, good.
Be fit purely for Al Pacino's speech before the final game.
Yep.
1 inch at a time.
All good. Best athlete of all time is who? The GOAT. Any sport.
Well, I'd have to say not just purely because of his ability, but for the way he carried himself through his career, Roger Federer.
There you go. Who was your sports idol as a kid?
Dennis Lilly. I think I told you that last time.
Yeah, I think you
still
did.
Still is,
yeah.
Dennis Lilly.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah. If you had class, you'd go Richard John Headley, just saying. Oh, sorry, Sir Richard John Headley. Any trophy to win, any sports trophy to win in the world, what's the one that you want to win?
The Football World Cup.
There you go. Yep. Oh, for me, it's the Stanley Cup, but that's all good. Best workout song or best pump me up song of all time is what?
Paranoid.
Oh, God. Yep, bless. Yep. Favourite sport to watch?
Football. Will always be football.
Gold. Least favourite sport to watch?
Ice hockey.
Oh, ouch. And with that, this Cappuccino podcast ends. Yeah.
Handbags at 10 o'clock.
Men spitting their teeth out. That's all I'll say about it. Right. So, yeah. So, let's go right back to the very beginning here. What test do you actually have to, physical test you need to do to join the New Zealand Police, and then it's a two-tier question, I guess, and to stay in the New Zealand Police?
Okay, so to join the New Zealand Police, you have to pass the PAT, the physical assessment test.
Yep.
Which is a 2.4-kilometre run in a specific size depending on your sex and your BMI.
Yep.
Push-ups, a standing jump test, and a grip strength test.
Perfect. Now, before we go any further, I should mention this as a caveat. Any advice that Rob and Brian give you, even though Rob is a PEO, still pays to check with your recruitment officer and also check with your local PEO as well. It's not a God-given in stone answer from Rob and I, but it may be pretty close, but it may not actually be black and white. So a couple of questions. If you've got a physical illness, but it doesn't hold you back, will that affect your application?
It will depend on what it is. The only probably true advice that I can give you as an applicant is that declare it, let your recruiting, your selection specialist know.
Yep.
Because I know there was a question there on one of your sites about asthma.
Yep.
There are police officers out there with asthma. There are police applicants. In fact, we've had a couple in the last few weeks that have asthma, and they just carry their pump with them, or the pump is available should it be required. So just let your selection specialist know, and that goes with anything that you think may affect your recruitment process.
Yeah, even something as, not going to say silly, but even something as trivial as, hey look, I had my ACL done a couple of years ago, I've played 3 years of football, it's still probably worth letting your PEOs know. Just for everybody's peace of mind. Is the fitness test, and I'm guessing they were referring to the PAT, is it hard? I think you and I both know the answer to this one.
Yeah. Look, any fitness test should test you. That's the point of it. It is a test. It's there to see that you're at the required fitness level that that specific job or sport or whatever it may be, that you are there and you're able to do it. That being said, if you train for it, there's no reason why you can't pass it. But you've got to put the effort in. If you want it, you put the effort in, and you will achieve success.
I guess the best piece of advice I ever had, and it was given to me by an old PEA, who said to me, I'm giving you all the answers to the test. All you've got to do now is just go and get the rest of the questions and you'll be sweet.
Exactly.
And it's like, yep, done. How does the New Zealand police test compare to the army entry test?
I actually checked this before I came out.
Of course now, you did, yeah.
Because I saw the question.
Yeah.
But having said that, I also went to a careers afternoon the other week at Glen Innes, and there was a young lad there from the army showing students push-ups. Theirs is a little bit below us in terms of their push-ups. From a male, for example, you have to reach 34 push-ups for maximum points. In the army, I believe it's 30. They don't do a 2.4k run. It looks like they do a multi-stage fitness test or the beep test.
Yeah.
And you have to get to, I think it was around 11, level 10 for males, and around level 8 point something for females.
What methods would you recommend to somebody fairly new to running to lower their minutes k pace to meet a fitness requirement? I guess this is the big one, because everybody starts off, and everybody's done the playing a sport or playing football or playing rugby, but when you actually come to running 2.4k, I think a lot of people tend to look at it and go, oh, I played rugby for X amount of years. What they don't actually realise is that there's lots of super rugby players who come back, and if correct me if I'm wrong here, some of the super rugby teams actually use the 2.4k run as their test, and a lot of their players, All Blacks as well, don't do the fitness requirements as fast as what they're required to join the police.
No, look, the best thing I can suggest in terms of getting ready for your 2.4k run is get out there and run.
Yep.
All right. Now, that being said, don't just go and run 2.4ks.
Yeah.
All right. If I always strip it back to this and keeping it simple in the gym, that if your goal is to bench press 100 kilos, if you only lift 20 kilos, you're never going to reach the level that you want. So you need to go out and do long distance running, you need to do some medium distance running, and you need to do some short interval based running, or there's also fartlek running as well. And that prepares you in the best way. Now, the New Cops website actually has training advice on it of what to do, so you can always go there and have a look. But also speaking with your selection specialist as well, they'll provide you with some information that we provide to them in regards to your training. But it's getting out there and doing it and putting the miles. I say to some people who've spoken to me in the past, I say, get in your car, drive 2.4Ks, mm-hmm. put a mark on the road where you were, drive back, and then run that 2.4K runs. See how you do. See how fast you are doing that. Alternatively, I like the old mentality, test where you train, or train where you're going to test. All right. So we do our training up here in Auckland at the Lovelock Track, which is a running track in Mount Roskill. So go to Mount Roskill Running Track and run six laps. So 400 metres it is. Run the six laps.
Yep.
See how long it takes you. And then at least you've got a base of where you need.
Yeah.
The other thing is, it is six laps. If it's a 400 metre running track, and you know that with your sex and your BMI that you've got, say, 12 minutes, because that's a nice easy number, that means each lap's got to be 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
Just run 2 minutes for each of those laps. It's I know it sounds simple, but it is kind of like that. And you run your own race. I'm not a massive runner. I've done the goats and things like that, but I have to train for those. I actually have to go and run up hills and through tracks and mud and all that sort of thing to do that. But it's always my own race. There's guys and girls in front of me that are mountain runners. It's not my job to keep up with them if I want to finish the race. That's not going to happen.
Yep.
And we have a lot of people that come out, and when we brief them before they run, it's the big thing we really push. know what you have to do to pass.
Yeah.
If the guy or girl in front of you is a runner and you try and keep up with him, you'll get to the third or fourth lap and we'll see you start to blow out.
Yeah.
Because you haven't run your race. So if you've got to run a minute 45 for each lap, write it on your hand. We've had people turn up, it's written on their hand.
Yeah.
Minute 45 first lap, minute, and they may change it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then always on that last lap they'll push it, because you know, be the best you can and try and get the best you can. But if you run a really good consistent first five laps and at a minute 45 and then you try and do your last lap in a minute, you're just going to explode.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, funny you mention that, because I remember on my testing day I did 9:26, but one of the other potential recruits, he ran through at 8:15. And unbeknown to all of us, he was actually an Army PTI.
No.
And some of the boys tried to keep up with him. And as we got to that last lap, back in the days we'd do it around the Harbour Bridge, I was like, I'm actually overtaking people. That shouldn't be right. They must be. But yeah, you're right. So run your own race.
Yeah.
What does New Zealand Police require from an applicant, and this is the asthma question, with asthma? If you pass all the fitness tests, does asthma still affect your application? I guess that's going to be on a case-by-case basis, isn't it?
It will be, and as I said before, look, check with your selection specialist. Be upfront and open with it. I mean, that's the thing when you're going through this whole process, and when I talk to the applicants at testing, I say, you're in an interview process. From the day you pick up the phone and call our recruitment team, the interview process has been has commenced. And if you don't disclose something, it will generally be found out along the way. So just let them know, and they'll tell you whether it's going to be a major issue. They may talk, need a report from your doctor, something like that.
So. The next one, and I mentioned this to one of my workmates, he went, oh, millennials, but a valid point. Can I wear headphones when I do the run?
No.
There you go, no. Easy. Where is the best place to get started with your training? Like, what's the best thing to do? So let's say that somebody is a casual gym user or casual, you know, physical fitness person, and okay, cool, I've decided to take the step up, decided I want to become a cop. What steps would you recommend to them? Do you go out and get yourself a personal trainer? Do you go to the gym? Do you, you know, what do you do?
I think everyone's a little bit different. Some people will need to go and get a personal trainer. If fitness is not a big part of your life, or you know it's something that you need that gentle nudge with,
yep,
then going to a personal trainer is not an issue. Go yep. and go and seek out some advice. It may be that it's just that first up initial advice from someone that gets you on your way. As I said, the New Cops website has some basic information in regards to running. I know that there is there's a Facebook page in Auckland. I'm not sure if it covers the whole country, but that has applicants on it, and they talk to each other, they motivate each other, and there are running clubs and things like that. So look, find the option that's best for you, the one that you know is going to help you achieve where you want to get to.
What happens if you don't pass the fitness test? Can you keep trying? Back in our day, I know that you missed the run and it was, you've kind of growled at and told, and then it was like, maybe. But now it's kind of changed. So what happens if I come out initially on PAT day, I'm not having a good day, maybe I completely fail, or maybe I just have a mental block, and let's be honest, part of that PAT run is that mental block and overcoming that hurdle. What happens then? What's the process?
Well, it's not cut and dry. Generally, people that come out for their initial PAT test are coming to see how they're progressing with their run and their push-ups and all that sort of thing. And again, as I said, it's an interview process, and it's about showing improvement as well. So we have had people come and fail that initial, and usually we provide them with advice. This is what you need to go and do.
Yeah.
This is how long we recommend it will take you to get to where you need to. So we'll let the selection specialists know where they got to, how much time they needed, and then it's down to the applicant then to go away and show that they have, show their worth, to go away and improve, and come back when they're ready. And we always say, look, come back when you're ready. When you know that if you've got to do it in 11 minutes, 15 seconds to achieve the maximum points, make sure you come back and you're doing 11 minutes, 15 seconds or less.
Yeah. What comes first on PAT testing day? Is it the run?
Run first.
Yep.
Then the jump, push-ups, and grip strength.
Right. when doing the push-ups and the test, can females go on their knees or are they full push-ups?
Full push-ups. So train from the very get-go. My recommendation is train as you're going to test and the standard that you need to achieve.
And make sure that you can do more than the allotted number. I remember somebody on my testing day saying, I've never actually been able to do the amount, but I guess the nervous energy will push me through for three or four more. It didn't. Is the 2.4 PAT run on a set route or is it round a track?
It's different for different areas. Yep. I know Wellington, for example, uses the Wellington Waterfront. Whangarei has a set out and back. We have a track. We're lucky. We're fortunate. We've got the Lovelock track. The Waikato testing is done near Claudelands Arena, and it's just a big circular track that is measured out. I think it's 3 and a bit laps for 2.4 k's.
Can't argue that.
Everywhere is different.
Are push-ups for testing constant, or can you hold in the hold position?
They are constant and continuous.
Yeah. What do most people struggle with when they do the physical test for the police when testing, apart from breathing?
Probably the run and the push-ups.
Okay.
Yeah, generally not too many have any difficulty with the jump. In fact, I don't think I've seen anyone fail the jump in the time I've been doing the role. Grip strength can sometimes be a little bit low, but they go away and fix that up.
Cool. Yeah. What about the PCT, which is the physical competency test? So that's I'm going to say our obstacle course, for want of better words, but through the windows and everything else. What's normally the thing that makes people, shall we say, not succeed?
The wall.
Yeah.
That's seen as a bit of a nemesis, and people struggle with the wall. And what would be probably the ditch jump.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. How does the BMI system work in testing? Now, this would have suited me to the ground because I'm a chunky monkey, as you know. So how does it all work? Because you're taking people's BMIs and you're saying because your BMI is this, you're going to need X amount of time to do on the run, and there's a matrix score and everything else. So you want to briefly explain to us how that works?
I suppose the concept is, and they brought it in, is that everyone has differing abilities and different skills in terms of fitness. The BMI, generally for people with a larger BMI, makes the run a more difficult challenge for them.
Yeah.
But those people usually do really well with push-ups, strong upper bodies, whatever it is. So it's a matter that they get with the BMI for the run, it will give them a longer time in terms to do it to score those points.
Yep. Yeah. What's the best way to stay fit once you start doing shift work, in your opinion? Because I know that lots of people, and we've all seen it in our careers, where people finish police college, I'm in the best physical fitness of my life, blah, 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 I'm amazing. And then next thing you know, gosh, I've just swallowed a 20kg dumbbell, it's all around my waist, and where did that all come from? And it's really hard to get it off. Yeah. So, yeah.
Shift work is tough.
Yeah.
Shift work, and certainly your first 2 years in the police, or maybe longer, is tough because you're adjusting to that shift work. You're adjusting to the demands of the job itself. But for me, I suppose it's just trying to keep some consistency with your training. Set out some times during the week that these are my days that it's absolutely going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, when you're on your night shift, I mean, I always used to go and train before my night shift. I'd never train after I do a night shift. I was just physically exhausted.
Yep.
But then also early shift, I would find that, you know, certainly wouldn't get up any earlier than I needed to, so I wouldn't go and train beforehand. But I may go to the gym afterwards. I may go for a run. But my late shifts were always usually my go-to. I knew that if I was starting at 3 in the afternoon, I'd go to the gym on the way to work, do my shift, and then go home and sleep. But it's making out a plan, being consistent with it. Of course, along with that is making sure that you sleep well as best you can.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I found the sleep easier. As I progressed in age, I found it really, I really struggled to sleep, particularly on night shift. Don't fall into the traps of eating badly.
Yeah.
If you can, you know, grabbing that McDonald's burger or grabbing that pie from the BP bean shop or whatever it's called, you know, take your lunches with you. I, towards the end of my career, I didn't change the way I ate, if that makes sense. So if I was on a night shift, when I got up, I still had dinner then.
Yeah.
And partway through the shift, I would have a small meal, which would be like a lunch break. And then when I was coming to the end of my shift, I would have some breakfast because I was going to go home, go to sleep. Now, but with that, you need to be wary that you shouldn't be eating a lot of food within the last couple of hours before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
So on a normal day, for me, for example, I go to sleep at around 9:30, 10 o'clock. I'll stop eating at 7:30 at the latest to just let my body digest that. So certainly maintaining your fitness and a good diet is important to maintain that healthy lifestyle.
As Arnold Schwarzenegger would say, consistency beats motivation every day of the week.
Absolutely. And
not wrong. How many times do you need to do the PAT?
Twice.
Twice.
Your initial, you'll do at least your initial one, and that's very early in your recruiting process.
Yep.
And then when you've been selected for a wing, you usually have to do the PAT about 8 to 12 weeks before. Sorry, yep. 8 to 10 weeks before you go off to the college.
And are we still doing the PAT at college, or we're not doing that anymore?
Not doing the PAT at college, but the PCT is done at the college now.
Yep.
But the PCT is not done before you go to the college anymore.
How often do I have to do the PCT test once I'm in the police?
Every 2 years, unless you're a member of the AOS STG, they do it on a yearly basis.
Cool. What would you recommend for snacks or meals once you actually start on shifts or frontline work? Because like we've said previously with the question that we've just answered, you know, you do get people who, you can literally see them eating three dinners in a shift and then wondering where they put all that weight on. So for me, I was nuts and scrogging, fresh fruit. I was trying to eat fresh fruit and some veggies as often as I could. But when you were on frontline, what were you trying to do with your stuff?
What I was trying to do was stay away from the sugary.
Yeah.
The sugary stuff as much as possible.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the key is to stay away from the fast, easy options of takeaway food. Food high in sugar, so sweets, energy drinks. Unfortunately, I know they're a staple on the night shifts, but you know, good old water at the end of the day, keeping yourself hydrated, especially when you've got your ballistic armor on and you're carrying all that weight with your stab-proof vest. You need to hydrate. So you're nuts, fruit, small meals, as opposed to eating heavy during the shift.
What do you do to stay fit as a PEO? Because, I mean, I know that some people go, oh, he's a physical education officer. You know, he's probably entered Mr. Universe 17 times and, you know, does ultra marathons on his weekends off and that type of stuff, which, to be fair, is not fair on you or anybody else. But so what do you do to stay fit yourself? Because, I mean, obviously you can't be unfit for purpose as a PEO. You can't be that for a police officer either. But so, you know, what do you do to stay fit?
Well, I think firstly, our role is an active role.
Yeah.
So PCT testing day, which is every week on a Thursday. Sometimes, if you take last week, for example, Leighton and I went up to Whangarei to do the testing up there. So that was a long day while we had to drive up there. We did a PAT and a PCT session while we're up there. So we're on our feet the whole day.
Yeah.
We don't stop on a PCT. It's the setting up, the testing, and then the taking down of the test itself. So that's physically active. But I do my own training. I do boot camps away. As you know, I've got a little business away from the police.
Yeah.
And I have about 3 to 4 sessions of that. Quite often I'll train with a client if that's what they like, because that helps motivate them to do it. And then just some days, I don't like to think of it as cheating, but some days I put on YouTube, because some days as a trainer, I just don't even want to have to think about it. I actually want to be the client.
Yeah.
So my partner put me on to a Irish personal trainer.
I know exactly the one, Caroline Javin.
Yes, absolutely awesome. But it just means that I can get a set of dumbbells. I can sit them in my lounge room. I put a towel out or a mat out And I don't actually have to think. And I always, and it's, and the thing I like about it, she does a lot of small 30-minute sessions, yep. but I always get something out of it. And so that keeps me active. I'm not coaching football anymore, but I've been reffing a lot of the games for this team my son coaches and also the team he plays in. So that has me running around for 45 minutes to an hour most Saturdays at least. So,
And with the, like you say, with that Caroline Javan workouts, don't be fooled by her smile. No, she is a killer, an absolute killer.
Let's go.
Let's not go. Yeah, we can just park it here. That'd be great. Yeah, I'm done. So somebody said, I do CrossFit 4 times a week. Will I need to train to pass the physical test? Which I think is a no-brainer. The answer is yes, because it's a different type of fitness.
It is. Is this the PCT or any? Or
PAT, I'm guessing.
Look, it'll obviously help. And if you've got a good baseline fitness through your CrossFit, but they, a lot of their running is just short distance running, so 400 meters or 500 meters. So you need to be able to know actually, in you need to run 6 times that, and you've got to do it in a certain amount of time. Look, absolutely, whatever training you do is great training, and I encourage you to keep doing it, but you still need to make sure that you have the ability to do the test that you need to. People say, well, I can run so I can ride a bike or I can swim in a pool. No, you still need to go and actually try it, because every fitness is a different fitness.
Not type wrong. Of fitness, Now, you've been a police officer, so how realistic do you think the testing is for what we do?
But before we get the answer to that question, let's hear from Jono at Tactical Solutions.
Thanks very much, Brian. So we've had a lot of dealings with police and other frontline operatives, and we have a deep understanding of the difficulties that when it comes to actually wearing body armor or from day-to-day operations. So what we've done is we've partnered with IncrediWear to bring you an innovative recovery products that they're just not like any ordinary compression sleeves. They've been scientifically proven to increase blood flow, reduce inflammation, and enhance your body's natural recovery. So from studies, they've found that they decrease in muscle soreness by up to 25%, a 63% reduction in pain, and a 46% faster injury recovery time. Whether you're dealing with a sore back from wearing your BAS, calf cramps, or you know, just your normal niggles that you get. And they've also done really well in the sporting field. I mean, all the NBA teams use IncrediWear, and 60 professional sports teams to date have got them. And I don't know if you heard the news about Messi. Obviously, you did. Messi joining up has just become the latest IncrediWear ambassador. So if you'd like more info, please head over to store.tactical.co.nz. Or if you're in the Auckland area, head through to Albany to our store, or in Wellington, in Upper Hutt, our innovation hub.
The PCT testing or anything. Look, we get asked this question a reasonable amount, you know, is it fit for purpose?
Yep.
All right. There is what's called a sworn functional job description. All right. So when you apply to be a police officer, it does, if you look it up, the sworn a functional job description. And I'm going to read it so I know that I get this right.
Oh, look at that. There you go.
New applicants are told that they need to be able to chase and apprehend, run quickly for sustained periods, jump and climb, grip and hold objects or persons, and carry heavy weights. So you need to be able to ask myself, can I do that?
Yeah.
And for me, that's what the PCT is.
Yeah.
Is kind of all those things. Right. Is it the best way to measure it? I think it's a great way to measure it. I think it still holds its purpose. What else could we do? Well, we'd need to look into that. There'd need to be investigation is not the word I'm looking for, but you know, a study into what would be better.
Yeah.
But I think the PCT still holds its credibility to still today as it did when I did it in 1996, or when you did it not long after
1996,
that. And I look at it like this, Brian, is that, you know, and as I said, a lot of people struggle with a war, and I just want you to think at the end of the day that your partner is on the other side of the wall, and something untoward is happening to them at the hands of some violent criminal or or they've injured themselves, and you need to get over that
wall. Yeah.
They need you over that wall to help them out. And I know that it is something that causes some officers a great deal of stress and anxiety doing the test. So try and focus that energy of, why do I actually need to do this?
Yeah.
And that is certainly one reason. And we've all had that experience where I've needed to get over that wall, or through that door, or around that building, or over that hill to help our partner out.
Yep.
And if the PCT allows us to measure it and measure your fitness, then I think it still holds its credibility today.
Yeah, when I did the podcast with Sean Tagg, who used to run a lot of our PEOs, he said that he thought a lot of police staff were actually maybe a little bit too hard on themselves when it came to PCT time, because like he said, you know, if I walk into an office situation and say, hey, hands up if you're over 50 here, who wants to do the PCT? He said, chances are 7/8 of that room is like, I can't do that, there's no way.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, you walk into our place and everybody goes, yeah, I've done it, and there's no issues. So, yeah, full respect there, I guess. Yeah.
Look, we're not there to fail you. We actually, as POs, we're there to assist.
Yep.
You know, people actually come to us after the test and say, you made that a really much better experience than what I thought it was going to be.
Yep.
I have people email me and prior to their PCT, knowing that they're a little bit stressed by it, and they're anxious and worried about it. So I pick up the phone, we talk about it, or we meet and go and sit down, have a coffee, and we discuss it. So what's your biggest concern? We don't want you, or have an expectation that at 45 or 55 years of age, you come out and do it when you were in the same time as you did when you were 26.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of police actually find that they get better at it over time because they know what the test is about. And I certainly did. I was faster at 44 than I was at 26.
Yep.
But we are there to help you get through it. We don't want you to fail. And we also know that if your time is 3 minutes and you walk across that line at 2:59 or 3 minutes, hey, that's a pass.
Yep.
You know, if you want to try and get that P1 time or get that gold card or that red card, cool. But we won't do it at the risk of injury.
Yep.
And we won't do it at the risk of you failing because you've pushed yourself too hard. So when you hear the PEO calling to you during the test, slow down, you've got time.
Yeah.
Slow down, you've got time. When you get over the wall and say, you've still got a minute, you've got plenty of time, don't feel that you've got to bust a gut to get over the finish line in the next 15 seconds. When we say, go a little bit further on the next time you go under the hurdle, it's because we don't want your backside to come up to the hurdle and then go around. Because that's when people do fail sometimes, because they've had to repeat something because they've just switched off a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, going around the cones, watch the cones.
Yeah.
You know, just switch on, because mentally we do turn off a little bit.
Now, some people have asked, why do a grip test? Because I think lots of people haven't actually quite put two and two together here. But am I correct in assuming that it is for firearms as well as for handcuffing and wrist locks and the such like that? So you get to effect an arrest, for instance, you know, you're grabbing somebody's arm, that type of stuff. You do actually have to have a strong, reasonable grip, don't you? A reasonably strong grip.
Yeah. Many years ago, it used to be about firearms a little bit more, because they had the old big, the revolver.
38.
Big 38s or whatever, and took a little bit to squeeze the trigger
with the
Glocks these days, or when the Glocks came in, that changed. But yeah, very much around handcuffing, restraining offenders, just having that ability to do it and to perform, as you say, holds and so forth. Yeah.
What's the vertical jump measurement test all about?
So it's just measuring the explosiveness in your legs and showing that you can jump to a certain height, just for that physical ability to do that.
Okay, now in your opinion, how do you best prepare mentally for a testing day before you do the test?
Best way to prepare, whether it's your PAT or your PCT, look, please wear good gear. You know, I mean, that's not mentally preparing, but if you're in a good pair of running shoes and you're in a good pair of running shorts and shirt or singlet, whatever your choice is, some of the shoes that, particularly with the PCT, we see the officers turn up.
Oh, yeah. An army marches on its feet. Yeah,
exactly. Well, my mentality, I say to people, what's the two most important parts on a car. One of them is the tyres.
Yep.
All right. So if you want your car to stick to the road, you need good tyres.
Yep.
If you want to stick to the wall when you climb over it, have a good pair of sand shoes.
Yep.
I won't promote the shoes that I wear.
I
can't single that. Get shoes that work well for you.
Yep.
And particularly since, you know, part of the PCT is a payment. You use some of that payment to get a decent pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Get a good sleep the night before. Get some good rest. Don't do it in the middle of a night shift. If you get scheduled in that day in between your two night shift days, that's not a good day to come out and test. Book in early. All right, get yourself, so if your expiry day is the 1st of November, come and see us a month and a half before. And if you don't pass on that day, then at least you know you've got 6 weeks to actually go out and do a little bit of work, and we can give you some guidance. And we can say, actually, you actually weren't too far off. Where you went wrong was
this.
Bang. Yep. Yeah. All right. You can book anywhere 6 months up to before your date.
Yep.
So if you're not sure, come out and talk to us. Or come and talk to me if you're part of Auckland District. Come and talk to me. I'm on the 6th floor. You can send me an email, you can call me, I'm happy. And there will not be one other PEO around the country that would turn you away if you wanted some advice on a part you know. And look, we can always come and do some wall practice or things like that. Eat light beforehand. Don't have a massive meal, but do have some food. Don't turn up on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
Hydrate. Eat well beforehand. Like eat well in your general day-to-day diet. But I think the biggest one in there is ask for help if you need it.
Yeah, not wrong. And I guess with the PAT for potential applicants, the thing I'd say is make sure you can do it before you've got to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, for me, that was an absolute given when I joined. It was like, I knew that I could do the PA test because I'd done it 5 times before I even joined. And it was like, yeah, okay, cool. I know this is going to be slog, but, you know, make sure you can actually do it before you come out.
Yeah, I mean, if you know your testing time is 18 minutes, wait till your testing time is, you know, till you're hitting your 12 minutes 15.
Yeah.
Look, good things come to those who wait. And and as long as you train hard and work for it, it will come. But coming back and keep coming back and not achieving what you need to, that's a little bit soul destroying as well.
Yeah.
So get yourself set up for success, not set up for failure.
Yeah. How do you look after your mental health in the police once you start? That's a podcast in itself. But
We talked a little bit about this last time.
Yeah.
Look, ask for help if you need it. That's probably the big one.
Yep.
First and foremost, probably talk to your sergeant.
Yep.
They're always my go-to, or my staff knew that I was always available there to talk with them at any time if they had any issues. Don't hide it away. Don't let it fester. Don't let it boil up. Don't let it snowball into something, because then it explodes. And then it's harder to deal with.
Yeah.
Look, we have the wellness system, we have health and safety and wellness officers. They're there to help you. It's not something you need to be ashamed about. It's not something to be embarrassed about. No. I've done it. I asked for help at least twice in my police career because I needed it, and it was the best thing I ever did. To be able to sit down and talk with someone about whatever your issue is. And a lot of the time, look, it's not even police related.
No.
It's just the stuff you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis that is making the other problem the issue, because you're not able to deal with that.
Yep.
And then you start bringing that into your work, your working day. So ask for help. Fitness, I will always say this.
Yeah.
Fitness and health is crucial.
Yeah.
Dealing with the stuff you're going to deal with at work, or dealing with problems at home, you know, we're all struggling at the moment with you know, the cost of living and mortgages and all that sort of thing. But if you know that this thing here, this body that you're walking around in and that is carrying your head and your thoughts and all that sort of thing, if that's fit and healthy, it's one less thing for you to have to worry about, all right? But it's always the thing that we look after last.
Yeah.
So please look after your fitness and health, because it'll help you with the other stuff.
Not wrong. Why do a rehearsal test?
For the to see where you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably as simple as that. You know. come out and give it a crack. It will absolutely tell you where you're at, but you can do that yourself as well.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, go to the track, run six times around it. What time do I do it in? 15 minutes? Well, I need to be 4 minutes faster or 3 minutes faster.
Is it worth it to join a running group, or should I go lone wolf? For me, I trained lone wolf. It was just what I'd always done, and I knew that come testing day, nobody was actually going to be running alongside me going, come on, you can make this, but I know some people like running groups. It's really a personal choice thing, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, I was like you. I ran the cold and windy and wet nights around the hills of Northland and Karori in Wellington. I did it by myself because that's what I do. While I train with my clients, I do actually enjoy training by myself if I can get myself in the right headspace. But if you need that motivation of a running group, that's cool. Do that as well. Whatever makes it work for you.
Do I wear to do my PAT? What's the best thing for me to wear when I come to PAT?
Once again, whatever's most comfortable, but probably appropriate too. So a good pair of running shoes that have good grip on them. Look, if you find it easier to run in leggings, you run in leggings. If shorts are your thing, shorts and a singlet, shorts and a running shirt, that's fine. What I will say is that particularly, certainly what we've been experiencing up here in Auckland with all the rain and all that sort of thing is maybe bring a jacket, some warm clothes. I know it was very cold down in Christchurch last week, I believe, when Glenn was testing. So take a jacket so you're not standing there shivering. And when you arrive, don't start stripping down to your running gear. Yep. We'll tell you when, because we don't want you getting hypothermic before the...
And that's the other thing, isn't it? I mean, it was in our day as well, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but if it's raining, the test is still going ahead.
A lot of the time, the test will continue. We will only cancel a test if we deem that it is a risk to your safety performing the test. We don't want anyone to break and fall or fall and break.
Any ideas where the best place to find a free running program is that up on the New Cops website?
I'm pretty sure there is one up on the New Cops website, but you'd find them online as well.
Can I talk with a PEO directly about my training? So I'm guessing this is for sworn officers or officers already in, as well as potential recruits. Can potential recruits talk directly to a PEO about their training or not?
We generally wouldn't talk. We would talk to them on a testing day, particularly if they didn't meet with success. We'd talk to them then and give them some advice. But certainly sworn officers, 100%. We are here, and that's why we're here, that if you're struggling with anything, we're more than happy to assist with putting you on the right track.
Just to throw the caveat in there before people start ringing up and saying, it's not a personal training program either, though.
No, that's the other side of it. We're not PTs. We're not there to get you into the gym and get you shredded and all that for summer and so forth. We're there to assist in meeting your PCT goals and any fitness goals, or if you're training for a tactical group. We can put you in the right direction there as well.
How do you improve your grip strength? What's a good way to improve it?
Simple one is actually grabbing your cell phone and grip on either side, by the sides, and squeezing that for 5 to 10 seconds. Release, squeeze again. Farmers carries, load up your weight.
We love the farmers carries.
I love them. One of my favourite exercises. Hanging from a bar in the gym, and but your exercise like your lat pull downs, your seated rows, they're all going to work, and you can do your sort of wrist curls as well to build your forearms.
Are you allowed to have strapping or braces on when you do your PAT?
Look, people will turn up with a knee strap on or something around their calf or something like that, but be prepared that we will ask you.
What's that all about?
Because you're declaring that you're physically fit to do this, and if we see you in some form of brace or strapping, we will ask you the nature of the injury, if it is an injury or what it is.
Now, we've kind of answered this with a PCT, but what do you recommend to eat the day before my initial PAT test? What would you say? Same thing again, put a few carbs, eat smart, don't eat McDonald's. All that type of stuff.
Yeah, and don't all of a sudden change your diet to something that you're not used to eating that may upset your tummy. So just stick to what you know works well for you.
How old is too old to join the New Zealand police?
I don't think we can answer that one these days. No. I think they've recently just had someone at 55 go into the,
there you go, look
into
at
the college. So there is no specific age.
What happens if I get injured after I've passed the initial PAT test? Do I have to come back and resit it, or will it be done on a case-by-case basis?
Just let your selection specialist know that you sustained, well, you probably tell us on the day that you sustained an injury. Let your selection specialist know. We will let them know when we submit your results. And it'll just be, you may then need to, depending on the nature of the injury, if it's a slight pull or something like that, and yep, nothing too significant. It may be that you go through a little bit of physio work, but if there is some serious injury, you may need to provide some form of medical certificate that you're safe to perform it again.
Now, I know that you've been a recruit instructor at RMPC, and you've also been a student there as well, once upon a time, right? And when you are down there, it does sometimes feel like you've been a candle from sort of three directions. What advice would you give re the physical requirements of being at college? Because, I mean, you've got the physical training that happens at the college, you've got your own physical fitness to do, you've got your academic study to do, then you've got your testing as well. So what advice would you give as a PEO, a former recruit instructor and a recruit, to sort of say, hey, if I was going to manage it, this is the way I'd be managing it?
When we have people come for their final PATs, the final message we generally give them is maintain where you're at the moment, if not build on it.
Yeah.
All right. Because a lot of people, when they pass their final PAT, are actually at the best fitness they've been at in their life. So yep, you're now going into an environment for 4 months, 4.5 months, where it is pretty rigorous and pretty full on. There are long days on the firearms range. There are long days driving and driver training, your taser. You've got all that physical stuff. But then, yes, you do have the pressures of studying for exams or practicals, the pressures of being in classroom for long days. So maintaining your fitness. Once again, like we were talking about with the mental strains of life and work, your fitness will help you through those days. The other thing is, don't let the free food in the police mess hall become your best friend.
Yeah.
Now, by all accounts, the greatest record from start of college to the end is an increase of 20 kilos, I believe.
Yeah.
You do not, don't, as I said before, don't change your diet just because it's sitting there on the... Yeah. Not the hot plates, but...
It's a cooked breakfast. Yeah.
It does. Yeah, don't need to be bacon and sausages every day, and it doesn't need to be pudding every night and things like that. Keep your diet to how you usually eat and the serving sizes to how you usually eat, because putting on that weight at college will make things harder as well. So maintain your fitness. Alternatively, you're also going to have to plan a little bit, because you're not going to be able to get down to the gym every single day of the week like you maybe do back at home. There is a good gym facility there. There are plenty of hills to run around and so forth. But make a good plan and take advantage of the weekends for maybe a little bit of training as well.
Yeah, not wrong. And with that, we've come to the end. Are there any final thoughts that you've got on either prepping for the PAT, prepping for the PCT, or just physical fitness testing within the police? I know that lots of people get really, really anxious about it, but it's the 6P rule for me. If you have piss poor planning, then you're going to get piss poor performance. So that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
If you plan it and you do everything methodically, you'll smash it out of the park. If you don't, you're just flying by the seat of your pants, or you think, oh, I've done this, so I should be able to do this. It's not going to work for you. And again, you know, I've seen people who have done trail running and everything else, and then they've come to do the PAT test, and all of a sudden it's rainy, it's a bit windy, it's flat, I'm not used to flat, blah, 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 I can't do it. So yeah, like you say, test like you test, because that's what you're going to be tested on. It's not the fact that you're a great trail runner or you've played ice hockey for New Zealand or the such like. So.
Yeah. Look, I was talking to a staff member last week, and their PCT is due, and they're coming back from an injury. And I just said to him, look, you've got to do the PCT. You don't have a choice about that. But I don't want to train you or help train you and get you set up for training just to do the PCT.
Yeah.
I actually want you to keep training for your life.
Yeah.
All right, because this officer was coming more towards the end of their career. And I said, because I want you to be fit to do the PCT, to get through it without injury. But also on the other side of that, you may choose to retire at some stage, and I actually want you to go and enjoy that retirement and not be broken.
Yeah.
And they were fully engaged with that, and wants to be able to go off and do things once they retire, whether you're retiring or not. Train for your life. Train to be fit and healthy to come to football on the Saturday and run around and be a referee. Train so you can go to the beach and have a great holiday away and be physically active, but also train so you can be restful and comfortable with who you are and so forth. But the PCT is just something along the way, or the PAT is just something along the way that you need to achieve for your next goal. So just keep training for your life.
Yeah, and I think sometimes some people take on this whole thing of, I don't look like Ronnie Coleman, or I don't look like Jason Statham, and be smart about it, because not everybody can look like those people. Like you're saying, you know, train to be fit for life. If you can run 5K, you can do 100 push-ups, you can do 100 squats, and you can do 100 star jumps all sort of consecutively, you're actually not doing too bad.
No, no.
You know? It's that thing of, I think sometimes we actually don't actually realise how fit we are, but like you say, you know, just be fit for life and everything's so much more happier. Rob, yet again, thanks very much for all your expertise. If you do want to join, then make sure that you go and check out the police recruiting website. It's on Facebook, it's on Instagram, it's newcops.co.nz, or you can just simply type in police recruiting at New Zealand Police and it will come up. If you are a current serving member and you are due to do your PCT, listen to Rob's advice. Get in early, get some advice if you're a little bit shy or nervous about it, and test early, get it done. If you don't get it done, then come back. But the percentage is so low
of people, and I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people don't achieve it. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, just look after yourself, team, and make sure that you're good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Done. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for listening. But please do Constable Brian and I a favour and be sure to subscribe
so you don't miss out on the next Coppuccino podcast. Real people, real stories.